actually, we found that a student's individual socioeconomic status did not matter in the study. And that's consistent with some, there's some research out there that says that student socioeconomic status does matter, and there's some research that says that it doesn't. These findings sort of suggest that it really doesn't matter whether or not a student qualifies for free or reduced price lunch, that that quality instruction will impact it despite those compositional effects.
Now, this is an interesting point, and I think an important part of your study. So can you explain why it doesn't matter in your particular study?
We found that, for example, prior achievement is probably the biggest predictor of future performance, and that sounds a very novel concept. But we did find in the study that students in eighth grade, their performance at eighth grade in the non-project proficiency cohort, only 4% of those students scored proficient at grade 11. So they scored 4% were novice in grade 8 and were proficient in grade 11. With project proficiency, we had 16% of our students who were novice in 8th grade but proficient in grade 11. So the students who already had prior achievement that was poor, we quadrupled the percentage of students who actually demonstrated proficiency as measured by the state assessment.
What's important about this?
Classrooms matter. The best way for us to ensure that all students in classrooms achieve at high levels is to have a quality teacher. And to and the way that as researchers we can investigate the relationship of teaching statistically is to examine differences in achievement across classrooms within a school district or a state or across the country. So in this study, we examine the differences in achievement. So we started with examining project proficiency classrooms and found that there was about 30% difference in achievement across classrooms.
What does that mean right there?
What does that mean is that from classroom 1 to classroom 110, achievement would range, there was 30% differences in achievement across those 110 classrooms in the study.
So project proficiency classroom over here might be at 50% proficiency.
Right.
PP class over here might be at 80%.
Right. That's without examining any other variables. But with project proficiency, the variance actually reduced from 31% to 14%. So and that results in that's about a 55% reduction. So if achievement went up and variation reduced, then instructional practices had to improve in all classrooms in the study.
So that achievement gap, if we can almost call it, can that be related to actual achievement gaps that when we in the media and in the professional field of education talk about between minorities and between all types of students? Can that be related to that at all?
Well, considering that the schools who are identified as persistently low achieving have relatively high percentages of at-risk students and have those compositional effects, those compositional factors already in their classrooms, that you could say that if achievement did go up, if that variation reduced and you had increased numbers of students reaching proficiency, then you could make the assertion that project proficiency was a strategy for reducing achievement gaps, correct?